Psalm 32, once again, is a psalm of repentance, and it is a psalm of David. The mention of King David perhaps reminds many people of his sins instead of his victories. Dr. Warren Wiersbe has written, "Most people think of David and Bathsheba rather than David and Goliath." This is unfortunate, for in the Bible we read more than once that David was a man after God's own heart. David's life, on the whole, was a faithful one to the Lord. Dr. Wiersbe says, perhaps that so many of us do think of David in this negative way says more about us than it does about David. Psalm 32 is one of the seven penitential psalms. The word penitential means being sorry for having done wrong and being willing to change. Psalm 32, once more then, is a psalm of repentance. The other penitential psalms, by the way, are Psalms 6, 38, 51, 102, 130, and 143. You do not get dessert this afternoon unless you can give back to me all seven of the penitential psalms. The background for Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 as well is David's sin with Bathsheba, his attempt to hide it, and then his confession of it and God's forgiveness of him. I have been taught that Psalm 32 records for us four experiences that David went through in reference to his sin with Bathsheba. This morning, using what I have been taught, we are going to look at those four experiences and learn from them. The four experiences in advance are as follows. I'll use four words, all beginning with the same letter, to give them to you. Cover, confess, cleanse, and confidence. David's four experiences: cover, confess, cleanse, and confidence. Experience number one, cover. Meaning, of course, David tried to cover his sin with Bathsheba. Although David opens Psalm 32 with a shout of praise, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him." David's first experience was silence. For a time, after David had sinned, he sought to hide his sins. He sought to avoid facing up to his sins. He tried to avoid God. His mind and heart were bent on concealing them. David used three different words in Psalm 32 to describe what he had done: transgression, sin, and iniquity. Transgression means rebellion. God had said, "You shall not commit adultery," but David rebelled against God. God had said, "You shall not murder," but David rebelled against God here also. The word translated sin means to miss the mark. God has a standard for our lives, but David in his actions fell short of that standard. And the word iniquity means to be twisted or crooked. David had rebelled against God and missed the mark with twisted or crooked deeds. That is what David had done. And once more, instead of facing up to those facts honestly, David began to practice slyness or deceit. He tried to cover his sins. And so, to his outer sins of the flesh, he added inner sins of the spirit. I wonder, are any of us being silent to a sin in our life? Do any of us have a sin that we are trying to hide from God? A sin that we are refusing to take to God? Listen to what the result of David's covering was. It's found in verses 3 and 4. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. The New American Standard Bible says, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. As long as David kept silent and refused to confess his sins, he was under the chastening hand of God. Instead of physical strength, he had weakness. Instead of enjoying vitality and freshness, he was dried up, again, weak and without enthusiasm. He became like an old man as far as his body went. He lived in a perpetual drought instead of enjoying the abundant grace of God. And because he kept quiet outwardly about his sin, he inwardly roared all day long. He inwardly groaned. Someone has said, cleansing is God's loving way to bring his rebellious children to repentance. If we humble ourselves under God's hand, he will lift us up. But if we rebel, he will press us down. God chastens us because he loves us. He wants us to enjoy the best he has planned for us. Let me ask each of you once more. Are you being silent in reference to a sin, sins in your life? Are you trying to avoid facing up to them? Are you seeking to avoid God, in other words? Yes? Here is what you should do. Listen. David's second experience in reference to his sin was confession. He stopped concealing it and confessed his sin to the Lord. God, you will recall, in his grace, sent Nathan the prophet to confront David about his sins. 2 Samuel chapter 12, to bring David to sincere repentance. But by the way, this was not an easy assignment for Nathan. David was out of fellowship with God and could easily have turned on Nathan in anger. But Nathan went, and he told a tender story about a ewe lamb, and the story broke David's heart. Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." Nathan applied the story to David's situation and said, "You are the one." And David replied, "I have sinned." Look at verse 5 of Psalm 32. "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Note the repetition of the little word "my" in this one verse. My sin, my iniquity, my transgressions, my sin. David admitted to God that it was he who had sinned. He did not try to blame someone else. Up to this point, he had been trying to hide his sin, but now he brought it out into the open and confessed it. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. "He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy." What should we do if we have sin in our lives? We should confess it. Like David, we should bring it out into the open before God and confess it. It would be good at this point to ask and answer two questions about confession. A, what is confession of sin? Confession of sin is much more than simply admitting with our mouths we have sinned. True confession of sin is not just something we do with our lips. Our hearts need to be involved. There must also be a broken heart and a surrendered will in confession. David put it this way in Psalm 51, verse 17. "A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." When we confess our sins, we acknowledge with a humble heart that what God says about them is true. We judge our sins, and we turn from them in sorrow to Christ. Our Westminster Shorter Catechism teaches us that we are to have grief and hatred of our sins, and we are to turn from them with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. When Peter denied the Lord Jesus, he went out and wept bitterly, and he turned from that sin. Then B, what though if we take our time confessing our sins? What then? If we continue unrepentant, then God must continue to chasten us until we submit. Dr. William Culbertson, a former president of Moody Bible Institute, once preached a sermon on the sad consequences of forgiven sins. The sad consequences of delaying confession. God in his grace does forgive us when we sincerely confess our sins. But God in his government permits us to reap what we have sown. In reference to David, we read in the Bible that the baby born to him in Bathsheba died. His son Absalom rebelled and tried to take over the kingdom. His son Amnon violated his half-sister Tamar. Amnon was murdered by Absalom. David's wives were humiliated publicly by Absalom. Absalom was slain. And Nathan the prophet said to David that the sword would never depart from David's house. What if we continue unrepentant? God must continue to chasten us until we submit. And the longer we rebel, the more difficulty we will have after we have been forgiven. For there is a time of reaping. However, I don't want to end our second point on that note. I would rather end it by saying, please know that God stands ready right now to forgive your sins. As Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2 puts it, he stands ready right now to himself cover your sins and to not count them against you, to put your sins out of his sight, to remove them from you forever. And of course, he does that by putting them on the Lord Jesus, charging them to Christ's account. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. God made him, the Lord Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Go to God, straighten out your rebellion. Let's put it this way, come clean before God. And if you will come clean, then the third experience that David had will be yours too. It was cleansing, the joy of cleansing. Verse 5, again, of Psalm 32. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. And we go on to read, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. There is little, if any, joy in the heart of a person who refuses to deal with his, with her sins. But the one who confesses them is cleansed of them by Christ. And that one has music in his, in her heart. John Newton, as I have mentioned a number of times in the past, was an unbeliever and a morally unrestrained person. He was an infidel and a libertine. His heart was hard. His mouth was blasphemous. And in his own words, he became a wretch. But on March 21, 1748, God cleansed him of his sins. And he became one of the greatest hymn writers of the Christian church. The one who confesses sin is forgiven and has much to sing about. David writes in verse 7 that God surrounds him with songs. And in verse 11, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart." Sin in the heart takes singing out of the heart. When David was covering his sin, he lost his joy and song. Someone has said he most likely put his harp on the shelf because he had nothing to sing about. One of the first evidences of broken fellowship with God is loss of joy. But when sin is cleansed, joy is restored. John Guest, for many years, was the senior pastor of St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Swickley, Pennsylvania. He tells this story about himself. As a youth, he grew up in England, and one day he went to a Billy Graham crusade. And at the crusade, he became convicted of his sins. He became convicted that he was a sinner and that he needed a Savior. And Jesus Christ was that Savior. And so he confessed his sins to the Lord Jesus. And he asked for the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus. And he made the Lord Jesus his Lord. And he went on to say that when I left that crusade, and as I was going home, I began to jump. I began to jump for joy. I jumped over this and I jumped over that. I was jumping and leaping for joy that my sins had been forgiven and that I was now a child of God. It was when the prodigal son went home and made things right that he experienced joyful fellowship. If you will confess and forsake your sins, then you will also experience cleansing, forgiveness, the joy of forgiveness. Look at the beginning of verse 6 of Psalm 32. There is something almost tucked away there, but it's very important, and I want you to notice it. The beginning of verse 6, "Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found." The joy of cleansing begins with confession, and confession is to be made while God may be found. Two thoughts here. A, we must turn to God while he may be found. Isaiah 55, verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." In other words, we must not presume upon God's patience. We must not trifle with God concerning our rebellion in reference to him. B, we should turn to God right when we become aware of sin in our lives, right then. We must not put it off. Had David immediately confessed his sin to God, he would have saved himself from more sin, further anxiety and pain, and a great deal of chastening. Either we will find out our sins and do something about them, or our sins will find us out. We should turn to God right when we become aware of sin in our lives. Well, David has come a long way in his experience with God. He began with silence, then he came to confession, and that led to the joy of cleansing. But there is one more experience that David tells us about in Psalm 32, and that is confidence, the shout of confidence. During his time of silence and disobedience, David lost his confidence as well as his joy. He lost his confidence in God's love and grace. He lost his confidence that he belonged to God. He lost his confidence in reference to life because he knew he was out of the will of God. But once David repented of his sins and was forgiven by God, his confidence returned. John Stott says his peace returned. Psalm 32, verses 7 through 11, lists for us four specific areas in which David's confidence in the Lord returned. I will just mention them. David was confident of God's protection, verse 7. David was confident of God's guidance, verses 8 and 9. David was confident of God's love and grace, verse 10. And David was confident of God's acceptance of him, verse 11. Once David was cleansed, he also received confidence, God's protection, God's guidance, God's love and grace, God's acceptance of him. The shout of confidence. Here is what I would like us to do today. At the communion table, I would like us to go to the Lord Jesus and confess our sins to him, not holding any back. Then receive from him, by faith, cleansing of our sins. Then ask the Lord for the joy and confidence we have just studied. At the communion table, we see our sin, and we see our Savior, and we should see thanksgiving and joy. Come to the Lord Jesus with your sins and confess them. Then, trusting in him as Savior and Lord, receive from him cleansing of your sins and ask him to deepen the joy and confidence that you have because you are a child of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to so come for the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.